Song just doesn't get old, does it? Amazing grace. Ephesians chapter number 6 this morning. Ephesians chapter number 6 this morning. We're going to continue our series on the armor of God. And we're going to pick it up here in verse number 10. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Word and the protection that you give to your people. Lord, I look out in the world, I see so many people who don't know you as Savior, and they're so vulnerable to every whim, every philosophy, every temptation. They have no power to have victory over sin, and especially they have no hope of heaven. And Lord, I thank you for what you've done for us who are saved by giving us salvation. And I also pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be a good witness to others who don't have it. And perhaps there's some here this morning that are not sure where they're going to go when they die. They don't have that relationship with you. And they're not only missing out on heaven, but they're missing out on your help here and now. So I pray you'd help me to make this message clear and get across the thoughts that you've put on my heart to share with your people. Again, we pray that you'd be glorified. Give us the strength, the alertness, and your power to listen, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. The Christian life is always going to involve spiritual warfare. We find that there in verse number 12. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities." So it's not just people that we're going to have problems with. There's something behind that. There's something bigger. Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're talking about another realm here, not just the fleshly, earthly realm. There is a facet of demons. There is a real devil. And thankfully, there's a real God. And he has real angels also who are very powerful. So we don't have to be defeated, but we have to understand that we're going to be attacked. We're going to be assaulted in this world, not just by people, but by the devil's forces. That's what the Christian is up against. And the people in Paul's day, when he's speaking about putting on the whole armor, they fully understood. They were quite familiar with the armor of a Roman soldier. Roman soldiers were quite common. They ruled the land, and they ruled by force. And so when the people saw the Roman soldier, there's the armor. They got the helmet, they got the breastplate, they got the sword, they've got all this on. And so now when Paul comes to explaining this, he mentioned that like a soldier needs to put on the armor, that God's people need to be spiritually clad for another type of a battle, the spiritual battle. And so he likened each piece of the armor to an aspect of the Christian life. So he talked about the belt of truth, how truth brings protection. He also talked about the breastplate of righteousness. Doing what's right and following God will protect you. And he mentioned the sandals of the preparation of the gospel of peace, right? So the gospel, those little sandals had spikes. The gospel really gives traction in this life. There's a lot of people have no traction. They're moving a lot. They're spinning, but they're not getting much done. And part of that is because their life's not built on and based on the gospel. Gospel changes our lives. Then he talked about the shield of faith. Dr. Mitchell preached on that. And he talked about the door that he hid behind. And the fire was on the other side. You'll never forget that one, right? So today, he also talks about the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit will be the next one, but today's piece of the armor is the helmet of salvation. Now, I want to direct your attention back to verse number 10. It says, finally, what are the next two words? My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The whole discourse about the armor of God was given to saved people. He said, my brethren. So the Lord wants us, who are Christians, to wear the whole armor so that we can withstand the attacks of the devil. It's pretty simple. When Christians don't put on the whole armor, they are vulnerable. They will be attacked. They will be injured spiritually. And so when we wonder why we struggle so much in life and why we keep failing, we don't have to wonder. The reason is we haven't donned the whole armor of God as we should. But I have a question then. Why would saved people be told to put on the helmet of salvation? Because if you're saved, you've already got salvation. So why would you put it on? Let me say this. God's not implying that we get saved over and over and over again. That when you sin, well, you lose your salvation and then you got to get saved again and then you got to put that helmet back on. And when you mess up, that means you took the helmet off and then you got to put it back on and get saved again. No, we don't see that pattern in the Bible of people getting saved repeatedly. And by the way, the people who even believe that don't even believe that in the truest sense, because really, what comes after salvation? Baptism. So how about the person who gets saved and then loses their salvation and they get saved again? Do they keep getting baptized every time they get saved again? No, because they don't, it's not even a thing. Salvation is a done deal. Okay, and we'll get on that in just a moment here. But what does it mean then? Okay, God's not implying that we get saved over and over again by putting on the helmet of salvation. If we're saved, why do we put it on? What does it mean to put on the helmet? It refers, I believe, to appropriating the daily benefits that we have of our salvation. God's given us so much in salvation, and yet we don't always avail ourselves to that. Now, let's not forget some important facts about salvation. It has past, present, and future implications. The word salvation refers to deliverance. All right, so God delivers us from sin. In the past, when you got saved, if you got saved, you asked Jesus Christ to forgive your sin, you were delivered from the penalty of sin. Right? You had the judgment of God hanging over you because of your sin debt. And then you receive Christ as your Savior. He came in, took away the sin, gave you His righteousness, and now you have been delivered from the penalty of sin. That's a done deal. Now, it also has present implications. We're delivered from the power of sin. Jesus mentioned that about Jesus, where it says in Matthew 1:21, a verse we often use around Christmas time, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. So when we receive Christ as our Savior, we're saved from the power of sin. Then we also see that salvation has future implications, and that's where we're delivered from the presence of sin. I'm glad that Jesus forgave me of my sin. I'm glad I have His righteousness. I'm glad that He's working in my heart and life on this idea of sanctification and making me more holy and bringing me closer to God. But I'm still around a bunch of sin. And you're not going to escape that until you get to heaven. But I'm looking forward to that day when the battle is all over. Now, when we accept Christ as our Savior, our sins are forgiven. As I mentioned, our eternal destiny is set. You say, how do you know that? Well, Jesus said so. John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. How long is eternal? Forever. So when Jesus gave me eternal life, he gave me something that can't stop. So if I sin tomorrow, I still have eternal life because it's eternal. I already have it. It can't stop. He gave it to me. I didn't even work for it. It was free. And they shall never perish. What's the word never mean? Never? It means it can't happen. A saved person can't perish. They cannot go to hell. You say, well, hey, I should go out and sin. Oh, you go out and sin, you're forgetting some other things like the chastening of God. If you're one of God's children, he will spank you. And if you want some heavenly spankings, go for it. I would suggest you don't do that because God's real and you don't mess with him. And the people who do find out in the end that, oh, yeah, he was a little bit more powerful than I was. And then he also said in John chapter 10, 28, the end, he says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So when God saves us, we're there and nobody can get us out of his hand. So salvation, our eternal destiny is set. So we're not putting the helmet back on to get saved again. Ooh, I lost it. Ooh, I put it back on. Ooh, ah. No. I'm saved. I've got the helmet. However, a soldier can have a helmet. He can decide, well, I'll go into battle with it or without it. Kind of stupid if he went into battle without it. So, well, I'm a little bit more agile. I can get around a little bit better. You're giving up a whole lot when you give up the helmet. And so salvation, it's not just something that happened in the past. Yes, it also needs to, their present. There's a present continuation. Our salvation should continue to affect our daily lives. God has given us victory over sin. Now, I would like you to turn back to John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. In John chapter number 8, we see that Jesus sets us free from something. And we begin here in John 8, verse number 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He was talking to some religious people. But just because they're religious didn't mean that they were good people. And it says, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? So they're all bragging about how spiritual they were because they were descendants of Abraham. Verse 34, Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. He just cuts right to it and said, listen, you are a servant and you're a servant of sin. Because you've sinned, now you are now the servant of it. And then he said, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Free from what? Free from sin. Meaning, doesn't mean completely sinless. What it means is, when Jesus sets us free, the power of sin no longer has to dominate us. There is victory over sin for a Christian. Now, you can decide to have victory by trusting the Lord and claiming his promises and wearing the helmet. But when you take the helmet off and set it aside, go your own way, don't be surprised when you stumble into sin. So salvation, it sets us free. And Christians have been delivered from sin. And we don't have to continue to be held captive by it anymore. But just like a soldier can neglect his helmet, so Christians often neglect the benefits that God provides through salvation. Let me give you an example. All right, because I'm saved, I have the opportunity to draw close to God through prayer. There's a lot of, you know, promises and principles about prayer in the Bible, where I can talk to God, I can draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to me, and the Bible says that I can ask and it shall be given. So many promises of about prayer in the Scriptures. However, if a Christian neglects prayer, are they going to have the benefits and the blessings that God would have bestowed on them had they not prayed? No. They're going to miss out on what God wanted to give them through prayer. So, yes, we have this great opportunity to talk to the Lord in prayer, but if I don't take advantage of it, I'm going to miss the opportunities. So that's just an example of how we have salvation, but we don't always take full advantage of the blessings that God gives to us through salvation. So salvation empowers prayer, but we still have to pray. So we got to put this helmet on every day. And salvation provides a lot for us who are saved. But again, many believers live without all those benefits. They live in defeat. Again, we're in a battle. The devil is fighting, the world is fighting, the flesh is fighting, and we need to put the helmet on. And when we put the helmet on, then we get, then we're living out that salvation, and we're enjoying the benefits of our salvation on a daily basis. So, what are the benefits that God gives us from salvation? Well, I'll just look at a couple here today, and I want you to see three things that the helmet of salvation offers us. Number one, protection. Protection, right? The word helmet means encirclement of the head. So you wear something that encircles your head. When I was a boy, about 7 years old, my friends and I, we loved riding our bikes. We loved being adventurous. We loved setting up jumps for our bikes. And so someone had a plastic football helmet, and we set up a jump. We had a log, and we put a ramp on the log, and then it went down over the hill, and down below was where we would land. And so, you know, you put the helmet on, everything's okay, right? You know, like Evel Knievel back in the day, back in the 70s, that's what it was all about. I was like, yeah, I can jump. You know, we're not jumping, you know, buses and all those things and cars, but we're just, so pedaling like crazy, I hit that jump, and yeah, flying through the air, and wiped out, and crashed real bad. And when I landed, I didn't see until afterwards, because my friend's whose helmet was, he wasn't real happy that I put a hole in his helmet. Well, the reason I put a hole in the helmet is because when I landed, my head hit a little metal rod that was in the ground and put a hole in the helmet. Thankfully, it didn't put an extra hole in my head. And the point is this, that things would have been different had I not had the helmet on. It was a toy football helmet, but it still helped out. So you get the idea of helmets. They encircle. They're in the Roman days, they were typically made of metal, and they protected the head and the back of the neck. And also they had sides that came down to protect the face. Now, in a physical battle, you need the helmet on. Somebody's going to come up with a club, a sword, or something to bash your head, an axe. You know, I want something to protect me from that. Now, in the spiritual realm, the devil's coming after your head too. And in particular, the devil attacks our minds. And he assails us. Sometimes seemingly constantly with doubts and fears and evil thoughts. And the helmet of salvation protects our minds from every blow that Satan can wield toward us. But when we don't have the helmet of salvation on, and we're just running around doing everything in our own strength and doing what we want to do, and we're not thinking about what God's given us, and we're not claiming the promises He's given us, we're vulnerable to Satan's attacks. And He will attack. And people say, man, you ever say that? How did I do this? Man, what was I thinking? How could I have stooped so low? You didn't have the helmet on. And you yield to temptation. But through Christ, we can have victory over our thought life. And if we neglect the helmet, we're going to be troubled in our minds. There are some people who are troubled seemingly over and over, constantly. It's a never-ending battle, trouble in their minds. But we can have victory in our minds when we put on the helmet of salvation. So, three simple areas that this gives us protection. First of all, He protects us from doubt. We have protection from doubt. In the battle, you've got to think clearly. Right? Satan is a master at trying to create confusion and introduce doubts. He wants you to doubt God. Is there really a God? He wants you to doubt yourself. You know, can I really do this? He wants you to doubt the Bible. Oh, it's just a bunch of words. Yeah? It's just a bunch of words that changes people's lives. It's just a bunch of words who actually come from God. And you ever study this thing out, anything that ever God says is true. And all the promises that He's made have come to pass. And the ones who haven't yet come to pass are yet to come to pass. I mean, the Bible works. The world's filled with people trying to find happiness in every other way. And it doesn't work. I mean, I've had people come to me for quote-unquote marriage counseling. They weren't even married. And they're like, well, I just can't figure out how this thing isn't working. We're always fighting at each other. Well, you're not working it the way God said to work it. You can't act like a marriage when you're not married. Okay? I mean, people, yeah, we'll just shack up together and we'll just see how it works. It's not going to work. Not like it could if you followed what God said. And when we all follow what God says, you can actually have a pretty good marriage. You can enjoy one another. It's kind of actually fun to be married. He said, really? Yeah, the Bible way. Follow it. But He wants to cause doubt about the Bible. He wants you to doubt your salvation. You say, well, sometimes I think I'm saved, sometimes I'm not saved. You know, sometimes, you know, I feel like coming to church, sometimes I don't feel like coming to church. It doesn't matter what I feel like, I just got to do what I got to do, right? You know, salvation is pretty simple. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And many years ago, I asked Jesus to come into my life and save me. Guess what? I have the Son. And because I have the Son, I have life. I'm glad God didn't make it that difficult. We don't have to be filled with doubts. Can I tell you this? The devil's a liar. He'll whisper into your ear. He'll put thoughts in your mind that aren't true. You know, like he did with Eve. You know, yea, hath God said, did God really say you can't eat of the tree? He's always trying to put doubts into our hearts and into our minds. But don't listen to him. When you have the helmet of salvation on, you're protected from those attacks of doubts. We need to renew our mind through the Scriptures. And when we do, those doubts clear up. You ever doubted something? Say, Lord, I just need you to help me with this. And you're just getting in the Bible and you're reading. It's like, boom, there it is. There's the answer right there. Okay, God, thanks. That was pretty simple. God knows how to help us. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is what? It's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. When you come to God in prayer, you got to believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He also says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you're having some doubts, get back in the Bible and the word of God will shore up your faith and you'll have more confidence and those doubts just fly away. That's part of the helmet. Put the helmet on. Get back in the book and let God renew your mind. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, known as the Prince of Preachers, said this about doubt. He said, doubt discovers difficulties which it never solves. It creates hesitancy, despondency, despair. No wonder why the devil wants to get us to doubt, right? Its progress is the decay of comfort, the death of peace. Believe is the word which speaks life into a man, but doubt nails down his coffin. Whoa. I wonder why he was called the Prince of Preachers. He had a way with words. So what does the helmet of salvation do for us? What does it provide? It provides protection. First of all, protection from doubt, but also protection from fear. How effective is a soldier who goes into battle who's scared to death? He can't even hold his rifle straight. You know? He's ready to run at any moment. Fear cripples. And God wants us to be on the offense. He wants us to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. But the devil wants to plague our minds with fear. If he can put us into fear, we'll turn and run. We won't do things for God. We won't accomplish much for God. We won't even try much for God. Let me ask you, do you have some fear in your heart this morning? Fear about your family. Fear about your friends, your friendships. Am I going to lose my friend? Do they really like me? Fear about your finances. How am I going to make it? Gas is getting higher and higher and higher. Inflation's out of control. It's a blessing. It's a fun time to go to the grocery store now, isn't it? And you see, I used to buy this, but I'm not buying that today. People fear the future. Is World War III about to happen? I don't know. God knows. I can live with fear. Or I can put my helmet on and say, well, God's in control. He's going to take care of me. You know, if the worst thing that happens and the nukes start falling, I die. And I go to heaven. I'm fine with going to heaven. Now, I don't want to go until he's ready for me, but so don't, you know, think I'm on a death wish or anything like that. But you know what? That's okay. You say, how can you be so cavalier about it? I know where I'm going. I know whom I have believed. And see, I got my helmet on, at least right now. The challenge is to keep it on every day and every part of the day. And sometimes we all pick it up and set it aside, don't we? We let that fear, we let that anxiety come into us. No, the helmet will protect us from fear. Isaiah 41:10, God said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Well, why do I have to be afraid if God is with me? I don't have to be afraid because he's going to take care of me. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Psalm 34:4, I like this one. David said, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. What was he doing? He was seeking God, and because he sought God, God delivered him from all those things that he was afraid of. By just turning to God in faith, God took care of things. He had restored and renewed confidence. And in Psalm 56, verse 3, David also said, what time I'm afraid, which means there were times that he was afraid, just like there will be times that we're afraid. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. He's praying. He's talking to God. He said, hey, when I do get afraid, I'm going to talk to you because I'm going to trust you because you're going to work things out. Have you ever noticed that a lot of the things that we fear never even come to pass? We call that borrowing trouble. Spurgeon also spoke of that. He said, the worst evils of life are those which do not exist except in our imagination. I mean, we just borrow trouble. We dream things up. If this happens and this is going to happen and this is going to happen. And you work through all sorts of scenarios that never even come to pass. We say, well, at least I was ready for it. Yeah, at least you were discouraged the whole time. You were working through all those scenarios. No, God wants us to put the helmet of salvation on. It'll protect us from doubts. It'll protect us from fear, but it'll also protect us from evil thoughts. As I mentioned, the devil's not our only enemy. The world out there is filled with temptations. Our flesh, the Bible says, the heart is deceitful. We'll tell ourselves, we'll lie to ourselves about ourselves. And we've got so much against us, but thankfully we've got the helmet of salvation that can protect us and protect our mind from these evil thoughts. The devil, he's real good at putting evil thoughts in your mind. Have you ever really tried to spend some time, a season of prayer? You're sitting there praying, all of a sudden out of nowhere comes this wicked thought. You're like, where did that come from? Well, do you think the devil wants you praying? Do you think your flesh wants to pray? It certainly does not. And so there will be attacks. Put the helmet on. Fight them things off. And get focused back on the Lord, because the Lord can help us and will deliver us. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We don't have to be defeated when we're attacked with evil thoughts. We put the helmet of salvation on. God tells us how we deal with these things. We find it here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 3. That is the wrong reference. I think it's chapter 10. Yes, go with my memory instead of what I wrote down. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Remember you saying we're going to have spiritual battles? So we need to use spiritual weaponry. He says in verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, that's fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So we use spiritual weapons. And when we do that, we can pull down strongholds that may have gotten established in our lives. We're able to cast down anything that exalts itself against God. We're able to make every thought obey the Lord. You got a thought, bring it into captivity and say, listen, you're not getting free until you submit to God. You get this evil thought coming to your mind? No, the Bible says this. You're out of here, buddy. And you control those thoughts. God actually says through his word that we can control them. We can take them captive. We can force those thoughts, because they're our thoughts, to follow God. And so when you have a thought, you're going to either yield that thought to God or you're going to yield to the flesh and to what the devil wants. Put the helmet on. Put the helmet on. Bible said, Paul said, we have the mind of Christ in 1 Corinthians 2:16. So if I have the mind of Christ, probably ought to start using it. Using that mind. It's a pure mind. It's a wise mind. It's a mind focused on the Lord. Now, I said that we have a couple of three things that it gives us. It gives us protection. It gives us, secondly, confidence. Remember the definition of a helmet refers to something that wraps around the head? Right, this wasn't quite a helmet, but it's kind of a makeshift helmet because it did wrap around the head. When we were in Zambia, we had a problem with bees getting into our girl's room. So I went out and investigated, and sure enough, the bees were living just above the ceiling. And they didn't have drywall, just above the ceiling boards. They're coming through the cracks in the walls, and they were getting up through the eaves in the corner of the house. And so this was down in the southern province. I was still a rookie missionary. And I came with all sorts of stuff, you know. And one of the things that I came with was a plastic shield. I said, why did you bring that? I thought this thing, you know, when I have the spitting cobras coming after me, I could put the shield on and I could go attack it. How stupid, you know. I didn't have time to go grab a shield and put it on my face. I just went after it with a long stick or a shovel or something like that and hope they didn't spit in your eyes. Anyway, I've got this plastic shield, and so I put on several layers of clothes. I had a hooded shirt, and I put this plastic shield that wrapped around, stuffed it down inside the hood and up over here, and I had all sorts. I had leather gloves. And it was Africa, okay? So I'm like roasting, but I'm ready. All right, bees, come on, let's bring it on. And I was able to go up there. Still a little fear and trepidation, but I did go after the bees. And then they came after me. And yes, I did run. But they didn't get my head. Why? Because I had my makeshift helmet on. Well, you say, well, that's a silly illustration. Yeah, it might be. But let me say this. Why did I have confidence to go after the bees? Because I had my helmet on. Helmet, when you put the helmet of salvation on, you're going to have more confidence in the Christian life. A soldier who goes out with a helmet, listen, into battle without armor, he's asking for trouble. But if he's hand-to-hand combat and he's got the helmet on, he's not as worried about fighting because he knows his head is going to be protected. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. When I'm fearing God and I've got my helmet on, I've got strong confidence. I've got confidence that I can win this battle. I can go toe to toe. You know, the reason many Christians are not in the battle is because they don't think they can win. Why don't they go soul winning? Why don't they give out tracts? Well, because I don't know that I can witness. Why do people not give tithe like they should? Well, I don't know if God will take care of me. And so there's no confidence in anything that we do when we have our helmet off. But God wants us to have confidence. Listen, we're in the Lord's army. He's the captain of my salvation. We're on the winning side. We don't have to live in fear and defeat and doubt. We can be used of God. When he calls us to do something, he equips us to do it. Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? I say this, I don't mean this lightly or flippantly, but if God is on my side, who can stop me? Can even the devil himself, if God's on your side, can even the devil himself stop you if God's next to you working with you? No. Now, none of us are going to sit here and say, hey, let's go take on the devil on our own strength, because if you do, you're going to get whooped. But what I'm saying is, with God, God plus one is always a majority. With a helmet on, we can expect victory. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We have faith that God's going to work through us. Let me ask you a question. How can a missionary go to a foreign field, face disease, political unrest, hardships, demonism, like we had in Africa, snakes, other predators? How can someone go and face things like that? Because they have their helmet on. Because they believe that God can give them victory. And I'll tell you, when I went to the mission field, I didn't think, hey, you know, I'm going to go there. Now, I went there in fear and trepidation, but trusting that God was going to take care of us. Yeah, there was disease. Yeah, there was all sorts of problems. Yeah, there were threats and problems. But I knew that God was on our side, and God worked. And God wants to work through us, but he can't work through us when we don't have confidence in him. And we don't have confidence in him when we don't put the helmet on. If you lack confidence, it's because you're not getting all out of your salvation what God wants to get out of your salvation. And the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. William Carey, missionary to India, he had his helmet on. He said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. You say, I'm afraid to go out and witness. I'm afraid to go to a mission field. If God be for us, who can be against us? We can serve the Lord, and we can have victory, and we can expect him to do something. Our confidence is not in ourselves. Our confidence is God, in God. We need to put the helmet on. And that salvation brings great confidence. Joshua 1:9, he says, be strong and of a good courage. This is God's encouragement to Joshua. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee. Whithersoever thou goest, wherever you go, God's with you. So be strong. Be of good courage. Salvation brings confidence, and confidence will bring some courage. We need some spiritual courage is what we need. Spiritual courage to take a stand against sin. Young people, well, no one else is. Put your helmet on. Put your helmet on. Then we see the last thing is hope. God wants to give us hope, and he does with the helmet. We have protection, amen, for protection, right? And we can have protection, we can have confidence, but we can have hope. Hope and confidence are very similar, but 1 Thessalonians 5:8, if you would turn there, there's another reference to the helmet, and this ties together with our point here. God wants us to have a helmet, and the helmet provides hope. Now, hope implies an expectation of obtaining something that's desired. Now, for a soldier, he's hoping for victory. He has confidence, but he also has some hope. He actually expects this to happen. In 1 Thessalonians 5:8, it says, but let us who are of the day be sober. That means be serious, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. And for an helmet, look what it says, the hope of salvation. So when I put on my helmet of salvation, I'm putting on hope. I have hope in two ways. I have hope in this life, and I have hope for the next life. So hope in this life. We can expect God to protect us in battle. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When we go witnessing, Jesus promised, lo, I am with you always. He promised us his power in Isaiah 41. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. We have the power that God wants us to have. And we can have hope in this life. We can have confidence. We can have hope that we can stand, you know, at school, at work, for the Lord. We need to have this hope in this life. And then not only that, but salvation gives us hope for the next life. In Titus 1:2, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie. Now, can God lie? No. Promised before the world began. God promised eternal life. So if God, who can't lie, promises something, then I can believe it's going to happen. Because again, this is a good look through here. Whatever he said, it comes to pass. There's a track record. And we can have that confidence. We have hope. And he says that being, Titus 3:7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life, the hope of eternal life. Think with me. No matter how bad things get here below, we've got heaven to look forward to. Life's going to be tough. There's going to be times of grief. There's going to be times of hardship. We're going to lose loved ones. We're going to have financial problems. We're going to have all sorts of difficulties. But God's still God. And at the end, no matter how bad it gets here, it's going to get really good up there. For the lost, think with me, this life is the best that they can look forward to. And I'm glad that this isn't the best. For a Christian, this is the worst thing I'm going to ever have to deal with, is this life. I don't have to worry about hell. Can I just say this? Put your helmet on and look up. And stop getting defeated by allowing your circumstances to get you down. It's easy to do, but God doesn't want us to do that. He's given us so much in salvation. And as I mentioned, many Christians never enjoy the benefits that God has made available to them because they're not putting their helmet on. Saved, yeah, but they're not appropriating the blessings. Let's put the helmet on. If we do, we'll have confidence in battle. And we'll have some courage for the Lord. We'll have hope in this life that God will get us through our problems. And in the next life, it's all going to be made right then. This passage is for Christians. But perhaps you're here today and you're not saved. You've never repented of your sin. You don't know where you're going to go when you die. And you're like, well, I'd like to have some of those benefits of salvation. Well, you can have the benefits after you get saved. Sin separates us from God and his blessings, but it also separates us from him and eternity going to heaven. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And then he says later that death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. What we get for our sin is not heaven. It's punishment because we've turned our back on God. And Jesus said in Luke 13, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Thankfully, he doesn't want us to perish. Salvation's not in a religion. It's not in our church or some other church. It's not a bunch of list of do's and don'ts. It's in a person. Remember I said earlier, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, reiterates that. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other name. You can't get saved in any other way. You say, well, what about this religion or that denomination? It doesn't matter. It's a person. It's Jesus Christ you need. He's the one who died for you. You can't fix this yourself. He died for you. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord hath laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. He was punished for our sin. And because he took that punishment, he has the right to give forgiveness to whoever comes to him. But if you don't come to him, you don't get the forgiveness. You've got to come with a repentant heart and say, I am sorry, I've offended. I'm sorry for my sin. Would you please come in and save me and cleanse me? If you come with a heart of faith, God will accept you and will save you. Let's bow our heads and